Time now for our look at the weather. A strong ridge of high pressure in the mid-level of the atmosphere will continue to control the weather across the Midwest for the next few days. This will produce dangerously hot and humid air with afternoon heat index readings peaking between 110 and 120 degrees through the end of the work week. Excessive heat warnings remain in effect for a large area from the plains east into the lower Great Lakes. Dry conditions are expected to persist until a cold front approaches from the northwest on Friday. High temperatures today will reach the mid-90s to low 100s across the region. Lows tonight will drop into the 70s. Indeed, there is an excessive heat warning in effect for the entire state of Illinois and locations to our west and to our east. In east central Illinois, that tops the forecast. Excessive heat warning in effect until 7 p.m. Saturday evening. This afternoon, partly sunny, hot and humid with a high in the mid to upper 90s. Heat index readings ranging from 110 to 115. The wind out of the southwest from 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear with a low in the upper 70s. The heat index will remain near 110 early in the evening. The wind from the southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, sunny, hot, and humid. Look for a high in the mid-90s. And afternoon heat index readings from 110 to 115. The wind from the southwest at 5 to 10. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 70s. Evening heat index readings around 110. The wind light and from the south. Friday, partly sunny with a high in the mid-90s. Afternoon heat index readings will be around 110. Friday night through Saturday night, partly cloudy, continued hot and humid with lows in the mid-70s, highs in the mid-90s. Afternoon and evening heat index readings around 105 degrees. Sunday, mostly sunny with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. The high in the low 90s, heat index readings 100 to 105. And Sunday night, another chance of showers, mostly cloudy. Lows, a low in the mid-70s Sunday night. Again, though, another hot and humid day. Another hot and humid evening, heat index readings Sunday night, 97 to 102. At noon Central Time, temperatures across Illinois and Indiana were in the 90s. Sunshine reported at most locations. Rockford reported 96 degrees. It was 95 at O'Hare. In Bloomington, Mattoon, and Carbondale, 92. Also 92 degrees at Indianapolis. At South Bend, it was 90. Lafayette, 95. And in Terre Haute, 93. Willard Airport reported a mostly sunny sky at the top of the hour. The temperature, 93. The dew point, 79, giving us a heat index of 110. The relative humidity, 63%. The wind out of the west at 5 miles per hour. And the barometric pressure, 29.91 and steady. And at 12:40 on the campus of the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, 96 degrees. Despite Greece's economic crisis, tourist visits have actually increased by 10% this year. That's due in large part to continued unrest in Egypt and other parts of North Africa. But Athens is not feeling the love. Reports of anti-austerity riots outside Parliament and rising crime in the Greek capital are scaring tourists and investors away. NPR's Joanna Kakissis reports from Athens.
Tourism officials had hoped to turn the Greek capital into a destination that combined its ancient past with a modern European future. This promotional video shows images of the Parthenon, the new Acropolis Museum, and several happy tourists, like this American woman.
It is the center of the world. It's the center of democracy, civilization, and if it began here, we need to know it.
But the numbers show that fewer people want that experience. Athens tourism leaders say the number of visitors to the city has dropped between 10 and 20% this year. Hotel owners also report a 57% drop in occupancy since 2008. Christina Deliani works in communications for a big hotel chain. She says the bad publicity is also scaring away investors.
We had a visit from investors a couple of weeks ago in Athens, and even though we were far away from the center, they were receiving messages and emails from their families in the U.S. and from other countries saying, are you safe?
Australia even issued a travel advisory for Athens. Deliani and other tourism officials say that more bad news could devastate one of the only healthy sectors in this economically troubled nation. For NPR News, I'm Joanna Kakissis in Athens.
Hard economic times often give rise to swindlers, people hoping to make a quick buck by misleading hapless consumers. It's not easy to catch these con men going door to door, but there's one scam out there that has mobilized an army of angry people. The scam has locksmiths up in arms. Sandy Houseman of NPR member station WVTF reports from Charlottesville, Virginia.
Bill Roberts has been a locksmith serving small cities in central Virginia for 7 years.
I'm just going to pry your door open for a hair and then insert a rod gently into the car and pop the lock.
He says it's a good, steady business.
Yeah, if you don't mind working long hours and being on call 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, it makes a little hard on family life at times, but yes, it's not a bad business to get into.
But 100 miles to the north, in a suburb of Washington, D.C., locksmith Mark Baldino is worried. From his office, he does a computer search for locksmiths in Reston, Virginia.
B is our red dot, but within a half a mile, you see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 other locksmiths. And if you scan out on the map, Naira, just a little bit further, you'll see about 10 locations, maybe 20.
The problem is that few of those listings are legitimate locksmiths. Most ring to an out-of-state call bank that quotes a low rate, then dispatches a con man who's not trained to pick locks. Joanne Grimes is a retired teacher who owns rental property in Alexandria, Virginia. Her tenants were told a service call would cost $185, but the bill came to $586.
You know, I can go to Home Depot and buy a lock and a door for $600.
Grimes contacted the Better Business Bureau, where President Edward Johnson has been trying for 5 years to get something done about phony locksmiths.
One of the larger ones that the BBB has identified is a company that poses as a local locksmith in cities across the country. And indeed, they advertise in the Yellow Pages using local phone numbers and fake local addresses. And a consumer might think they're dealing with a local locksmith, but the phone call is actually routed to a call center located in the Bronx of New York City.
But stopping these scammers has been difficult. Richmond locksmith Jeff Musser, who founded a company called 1-800-UNLOCKS, says consumers rarely dispute the bill.
They've got a kid to pick up from school. Their husband's at work. They've got to get that key made. When they give a credit card, sky's the limit with the credit card.
And his partner, Barry Wilson, says some victims are afraid to complain. He recently got a call from a woman who said she was overcharged and left with a broken lock.
Her door lock was drilled open, and she was pretty petrified. I tried to get her to talk to the investigator with the Department of Criminal Justice, and she just wouldn't. She just said, please come and fix it, and I'll pay you whatever. So I don't know if she was threatened.
Did she say whether they got any money from her?
Oh, yeah. He made her get it out of the debit machine that night.
In response to the situation, locksmiths have been joining a Texas-based trade group, the Associated Locksmiths of America. Their dues help pay for a series of public service announcements, something attorneys general have also tried.
Hello, I'm Macy Pridgen, Public Information Officer for the Virginia Beach Commonwealth Attorney's Office, warning citizens to be aware of untrustworthy locksmith companies who are ripping off consumers across the country.
And the group hired a lobbyist to promote stricter laws. 15 states now regulate locksmiths, and a few have taken con artists to court. The locksmith scam has even caught the attention of the FBI, but so far the Bureau says it's not dangerous or costly enough to warrant a national investigation. For NPR News, I'm Sandy Houseman in Charlottesville, Virginia.
A new report from the Illinois Institute for Rural Affairs covers the allure of small-town living. The Institute is based at Western Illinois University. The report, Bigger is Not Always Better, summarizes the experiences of Kim Houston, president of the Nelson County Economic Development Agency in Bardstown, Kentucky. Houston is the author of Small Town Sexy, The Allure of Living in Small Town America. She spoke with Illinois Public Radio's Jenna Dooley.
Well, in the book, I'm looking at towns kind of that are 15,000 or less. You know, when you're a town of 15,000 or less, chances are you're still considered a small town. I mean, I talk with 25 different people and interview 25 different people, from people from towns from 100 people to, you know, to the mayor of Louisville, who's Jerry Abramson at the time, talking about his small town neighbors. But when I think about a small town, in essence, you know, it's towns that are self-considered probably 15,000 or less.
What are some reasons that people would want to live in a small town? What are some of the advantages?
Well, you know, it was funny. We were really waiting for the census to come out to see if all this information that I provided was correct about quality of life, and the new census is out. And what we have found out, that the numbers of some of the larger cities around us have kind of stayed stable, but the numbers in the communities around the big cities and a lot of the smaller bedroom communities, or ones even further than that, some of those numbers are growing. And one reason is a quality of life issue. I think there's so many people that want to have an idea and a dream about how they want to raise their children, the kind of community they want to raise their children in, not especially the big city, but they want those amenities to be near them. And so, you know, they're choosing the quality of life. A lot of people are going back to the communities that they were born and raised in and wanting their children to live the lives that they have, walking the streets safely, being on the same Little League ball teams, having the same teachers teach their children that taught them, and being able to, you know, be in a community to where you have wide open green spaces available to you and you don't need to build a dog park because we all have front yards and backyards. I think quality of life is so important to all of us now, and that is the number one reason that people are choosing small towns.
Some of the criticisms maybe you hear about small towns are, you know, what's there to do on a Friday night?
Or absolutely.
If your name shows up in the police blotter,
yes,
everybody knows.
Well, if you want anonymity, a small town is not the place for you. You can certainly get that in a big city. You can live in a subdivision where you basically don't know your neighbors, or in, you know, tall, you know, towers, and you don't know your neighbors. But anonymity, you're not going to have that in a small town, which is that's really funny. But some of the negatives are, and, you know, I hear these from my kids who actually moved away, and from some of the kids, that there is not a lot to do in a small town. No, we can't compete with Starbucks on every corner, and no, we're not going to have the nightlife and the city that never sleeps. But you know what? We do have our allure here, to where we may not have the big city concerts, but we got great community theater. We may not have some of the nightlife that they have.